presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Sean Hawkins.
Welcome to This Is the XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hawkins. Today, I'm going to talk about the Seattle and LA showcases. I don't know how long this episode's going to be, because to me, there's not... I don't mean there's no talent, but no talent that I can find information on. There's not a whole lot of people at these two. You know, it wasn't like the Texas ones, for sure. But there are some interesting players in both. I'm going to do LA first, and I'm going to come back and do Seattle. That's where we're at. We're, I only got two showcases left. Next week, I'm not going to do a Tampa one. I'm going to do a episode on the Spring League. Talking about the Spring League and how they got started and everything. And then the next, after the St. Louis one, I'm going to do one on Tampa and St. Louis on their two showcases. Because you have to have two, I feel like. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is kind of weird. It's going to be Nick Novak. I know he's a kicker, but he's a kicker a lot of people know. He was a kicker for the Chargers. He went to Maryland. He kicked there. He kicked for the Redskins, Cardinals, Chargers, Chiefs, Jets, the Texans. He also kicked in the NFL Europe, and he kicked for the Florida Tuskers of the United Football League. I don't think a lot of people will know this, but he got cut a whole bunch of times, even got cut by the San Diego Chargers before he ended up back with them in 2011. He was a really good kicker. The 2012 season, he had 90% field goal percentage, and his only two misses from 55 and 54 yards, but he converted his other two 50-yard ones. He was with them until 2015. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was horrible. In his 4 years at San Diego, he got 86% of his kicks, 101 out of 117 kicks. I ended up sixth all-time in the scoring list with 503 points, for the Chargers. So he's not a horrible kicker, and I think he'd be great. And he also kicked for the Birmingham Iron. He made four of his field goals in 26-0 victory, and he was named AAF Special Teams Player of the Week in Week 1, which you know what happened to AAF. But he's no joke. I think he's a good kicker. I don't think he got passed around a lot, obviously. But I think he'd be good for this league because field goals have been important. I mean, I know there's no extra points, but I mean, you're not going to score a touchdown every time. I mean, you're going to score probably touchdowns the majority of the time. But in this league, a kicker's going to have some worth, and I think he's a great kicker that will do good on any XFL team. The next guy I'm talking about is a defensive guy. And there's a lot of defensive guys in the L.A. They was in the L.A. showcase, and that's Scooby Wright. I recognize his name. He's actually Scooby Wright III, Philip Anthony Scooby Wright. I recognize his name for his playing time at Arizona. He was a force to be reckoned with at Arizona. He actually finished ninth in 2014 Heisman Trophy voting, and that was... Was the highest of any defensive player finished that year. He only played three games during his junior year, only had two sacks. After his junior year, he entered the 2016 NFL draft. I think if he would have played, from what I've seen, I think if he would have played his whole junior year, he would have been a higher draft pick. In college, he had 145 solo tackles, 101 assisted tackles, 236 total tackles. 38 of them was tackled for loss, had 14 sacks, a pick, and four fumbles with one fumble recovery. So, I mean, he was no joke. The Cleveland Browns took him 250th overall in 2016 draft. He signed a four-year deal worth $2.4 million, which is, you know, a good bit of money, with a $60,000 signing bonus. But he was waived before in September 20th and signed to the practice squad. He was picked up by the Cardinals off the practice Arizona Cardinals off the practice squad, but he was waived and signed to the practice squad the next day on September 2nd. He kept getting promoted and then promoted back down. And then he ended up playing for the Arizona Hotshots in the AAF. I think in the right system, maybe under Moss or something like that, he would be a force to be reckoned with in this league too. You're going to have some defense, and we know that. In this league, you're going to have to maybe not stop the other team, but slow them down, hold them to a field goal, make the kicker kick a field goal. So he's going to be – people like him are going to be important. I can see him being like a defensive player of the year in this league if he can hit where he needs to be, if he can live up to his ceiling. So the next guy is a big name. A lot of people wanting to talk to him in L.A., and that's Fred Davis. He's known for playing at USC and at the Washington Redskins. When the Redskins were actually halfway decent, he contributed as a reserve to the 2014 National Championship team for the USC. He played in four games, only caught four passes. Davis was a preseason All-Pacific 10 conference player prior to the 2007 season, and was considered a likely high draft choice within the 2018 draft. He was on the 2007 Mackey Award watch list against Washington State. Davis had the best game of his career with 9 catches, 124 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The performance marked the most yards receiving ever in a game by a Trojan tight end. Prior to that, Davis had never caught more than 6 passes or gained more than 68 yards in a game, so he kind of blew up in that one game. At the end of 2007 regular season, Davis was selected All Pac-10 conference first team by league coaches. He was also selected to the SI.com All-American second team. Davis became the second USC player to win the Mackey Award as the nation's top tight end. When asked his favorite game as a USC player, he said 2006 Rose Bowl. Davis was drafted in the second round of the 2008 draft by the Redskins, and the head coach at that time was Jim Zorn. On May 4th, the last day of the Redskins minicamp, Davis overslept and missed the morning practice. Head coach Jim Zorn said he was young and he understands Davis just messed up. He received a 4-year contract worth $3.5 million for the season. He didn't do much in 2008 due to lack of playing time. He only caught 3 passes for 27 yards. But he ended up having a pretty good career for the Redskins. You know, he was kind of – he wasn't the man there. He played backup to Chris Cooley. But when Cooley was hurt, and he was hurt a good bit. Like in 2009, he was hurt. And Davis finished with 48 catches, 509 yards, and 6 touchdowns. But Cooley kept getting hurt. So in 2011, he had 59 catches for 796 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was suspended 4 games for repeatedly failing drug tests. But despite his suspension, he was named Redskins 2011 Offensive Player of the Year. He tore his Achilles tendon in the first half of the game, Week 7 against the Giants in 2012 in the season. After Cooley got cut, so he was named starting tight end, and then the curse hit him, and he ended up getting hurt like Cooley did. In 2013, he tried to come back. He was suspended indefinitely, though, for violating the substance abuse policy again. Davis was reinstated in the league in 2015. He signed with the Patriots on May 1st, but cut June 19th, 2015. So he ain't played in a few years. He ain't played in 4 years. He kept having drug problems. He kept getting hurt, and I guess he was dealing with the pain and, you know, with steroids or drugs, something, you know, trying to get over it after he got hurt. You can't be doing that. And you have to be able to kind of go, okay, is making money more important than drugs? And a lot of these guys that need these second chances, like Boykin and like him, they just ain't getting that through their head. But maybe he could do good. And, you know, we don't know what they're testing for in the XFL yet. So he might be a perfect candidate to go to Seattle with Jim Zorn and kind of reconnect with his coach, or his old coach there in Seattle. Now, the next guy is another good defensive player, and that is Will Sutton. He also played in the Pac-10, or Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, for Arizona State. He ended up being a third-round pick in the 2014 draft for the Bears. So let me go over his career for you. In college at Arizona State, he started 27 games, played in 37. He had 113 total tackles, 66 solos, 47 assisted, 32 tackles for loss, 6 pass defended, and 4 forced fumbles. He was drafted by the Bears with the 82nd overall pick in the third round of the 2014 draft. He signed a 4-year deal, and he was the first person that signed for the draft class. September 7th, he posted his first tackle in the season opener against the Bills. In Week 3 against the New York Jets, he made his first career start. Sutton suffered a ankle injury Week 10 and was placed on injury reserve. And then in 2017, he was released by the Bears. So he really didn't live up to the hype of being a third-round pick. He kept getting cut and released by the Vikings, Niners, and then he played for the Arizona Hotshots in the AAF. But again, you're going to have some defensive guys in this league, and I think he was All-American in college. He was on the first team for American Football College Association, first team for the Associated Press, Athlon Sports, CBSSports.com, Lindy Sports, Sport News, Sports Illustrated. I mean, he was a big deal coming out of college. You know, you might not can tell that by him being a third-round pick, but he's got potential. And some of these guys just ain't reached their potential yet, or they make dumb mistakes, or they're injury-prone. And these are the guys that is going to build kind of the base of the XFL. These guys just wanting a second chance at a fresh start, and I think guys like him deserve that chance. And I think, you know, he was a good player, and I mean, he's a great player in college, decent player for the Bears, but injuries and just inconsistency kind of cut him off. So the next guy, the last guy I'm gonna talk about in the LA showcase is Raheem Moore. Now, I know y'all probably thinking, where have I heard that name before? Raheem Moore is the reason why Joe Flacco is a rich man, and the reason why the Ravens got that second Super Bowl. He is the cornerback that let the wide receiver for the Ravens just get by him. He lost favor of the Broncos management and fans due to that. Jacoby Jones got by him, and instead of making an easy play on the ball, he misjudged it, and he fell over, and Jones caught it and walked into the end zone for a game-time touchdown. And they end up winning 38-35 in overtime, and there comes the Ravens in the Super Bowl. He was a good corner. I mean, you know, he wasn't great, but he was good. He was drafted in the second round. He played his ball again in the Pac-12 for UCLA. But again, he made one mistake. It wasn't drugs. You know, it wasn't beating up his girlfriend or anything. It was him misjudging a ball, and that's what he's known for. And he needs to get out on this field in the XFL and make some plays and kind of rewrite his narrative. He had 212 tackles, a sack, 2 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, 22 pass receptions, and 9 picks. So it wasn't like he was horrible. He also played for the Hot Shots. It wasn't like he was horrible. I think, again, he just made a bad play. He just made a bad play, and he deserved better than what he got. But he's forever known for the guy that let Jacoby Jones score a touchdown and ruin a chance that they had with Peyton Manning to go to Super Bowl. That's the year Peyton Manning was destroying everybody. One of the years, and there's a lot, and he let the team down. And I'm sure he probably got death threats from the fans and stuff for that. But yeah, let's give him a second chance. Let's put him, you know, put him back in LA. I mean, I know it ain't, you know, I know there's gonna be a draft, but somebody's gonna take a chance on him, and he's gonna show that he can be a good corner and shut down a good wide receiver in the XFL. Coming up next, I'm gonna be talking about Seattle. The first guy I'm gonna talk about from the Seattle showcase is actually a former Atlanta Falcon, is Tron Ward, the running back. He went to school at Oregon State from 2011 to 2014. In the 2011 season, he had 211 yards rushing, 1 touchdown, 14 catches, 76 yards. 2012 season, he had 415 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns, and 10 catches for 79 yards. In 13, he had 521 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns, 34 receptions, 280 yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. And in his senior year, he had 696 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns, and 29 catches for 229 yards. He signed with the Falcons as an undrafted rookie, free agent 2015. He played in 13 games, all recorded 95 yards, 29 carries, and a rushing touchdown. He had 9 catches for 73 yards. In 2016, he was released by the Falcons and signed the practice squad. He was promoted to the active roster. The Falcons had a successful season in 2016. He only had 31 carries for 151 yards, and he would be inactive for the Super Bowl that they had that year. In 2017, he was the third running back behind Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. He ran for 129 yards in the 14 games he played. He signed with the Arizona Hotshots in 2019 for the Alliance, but he was waived during the final roster cuts, and then he signed with the Salt Lake Stallions. So he, you know, he had a good college career. He just didn't have it to be a pro guy. But like NFL career, he had 375 yards rushing, 1 touchdown, 13 catches, 98 yards. He's the kind of guy I think would be a good change of pace back, just, you know, give him the starter breather in the XFL. Why not give a guy like that a chance? Speaking of running backs, the next guy was supposed to be at showcase. Nobody knew if he really was or not, and that's Bishop Shankey. He was a high sought after rookie. I remember a lot of teams being high on him when he came out of Washington. His college career, he had 3,000 rushing yards, almost 3,500. On 644 attempts, 61 was his longest run. So, I mean, he has the burst. He had 37 touchdowns, 67 catches for 567 yards, and a touchdown at Washington. He could go. Like, he had the numbers in college. He could catch. He could run. He could do it all. And he was picked in the second round by Tennessee Titans. And then it was just a thud. And he never really did anything. He bounced around between the team. I mean, you know, a couple years of Titans before he was cut. He had chances, and he just didn't take advantage of it. Obviously, that could have happened again in the XFL. A lot of people said he wasn't there to showcase, which sucks because I enjoyed Bishop Shankey. I thought he was going to be the next big thing, his first running back taken that year. And he didn't do nothing with it. I mean, a lot of that could have been the Titans, offensive line, stuff like that. Some of it could have been work ethic. This could have been a second chance for him, so I hope he was there, even though reports said he wasn't. This guy is, I'm going to butcher the shit out of his name, man. I'm going to be honest with you. So edit this, but this is going to be hard. Haole Kikahaha. I probably messed that up. He was a second-round pick from the University of Washington 2015 draft from the Saints. He played all 13 games his freshman year at Washington, making 7 starts. He finished the season with 49 tackles and 3 sacks. He started the first four games of his sophomore season before tearing his ACL. Because 2012, he tore his ACL for a second time, causing him again to miss the season. He missed two straight years. He returned in 2013 and started every game for the Huskies. He finished with 13 sacks and 70 tackles. As a senior, he broke Daniel Tionisian, school record sack record of 30. He did that missing two seasons. Think about that. He broke the school record after missing two seasons. In 2014, the result of being named the first team All-American by the AP, FWAA, AFCA, the Wattacamp Football Foundation, and the Sport News, he became the sixth unanimous All-American in school history. He was drafted in the second round, 44th overall by the Saints. He had a strong training camp in preseason. He began season as starting on outside linebacker for the Saints. He recorded his first career sack week two. He set out week nine with an ankle injury and only played eight snaps in week 10. After a week 11 bye, he came back healthy, recording three tackles in week 12. He finished his rookie season with 50 tackles, four sacks, and four forced fumbles. But once again, in June, he tore his ACL out for the 2016 season. He played 12 games in 17, recording 10 tackles and four sacks. He suffered an ankle injury again and placed in reserve. He was waived by the Saints September 1st of 2018. This guy had potential. In college and NFL, he had 62 tackles, 8 sacks, 4 first fumbles, and fumble recovery, but injuries. I mean, tear your ACL 3 times. You know, you're kind of injury prone. This is the league of second chances, and I think he might get that second chance, and he could be a guy that can just get after the quarterback. You're going to have to get pressure on these quarterbacks to stop them from chunking the ball over you in these offenses. So I think he'd be a good player for that. Another guy I think would be good for defense is Ryan Murphy. He was a seventh-round pick out of Oregon State for the Seahawks. He had a seventh-round pick for the Seahawks. He kind of bounced around from the Giants. And Denver Broncos. He was with Arizona Hotshots, but he was cut before the season even started. But, I mean, he was Super Bowl 50 champion for the Broncos. He was part of the team. So, I mean, he got a trophy. I mean, he got a ring out of it. You know, he might not have been the best corner or anything. He might have bounced around, but at least he got a Super Bowl ring out of it. He's a Super Bowl champion. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they're not that they're not on the NFL team because they're not good. There just ain't room for them. You know, there's no room for them to play. And that's sad that these could be good athletes, but they never just get a chance to shine. I think Ryan Murphy could be one of those guys. Now, I'm going to talk about the three quarterbacks that was here, the three big ones. The first one is Jake Heap. He played for three universities during his collegiate career, including Miami, Kansas, and Brigham Young. Actually works as a radio host for 710 Seattle, and he's working for the Russell Wilson Passing Academy. But yeah, he tried out for the XFL. He tried out Brigham Young. He wouldn't participate in the 2011 Armed Forces Bowl, and then he transferred to the University of Kansas to play for new head coach Charlie Weiss. Due to the transfer rules, he redshirted in 2012, expected to compete for the starting job the next year. He struggled with Kansas, completing fewer than half his passes. He lost starting job to Montel Cozart during open competition. He announced he was leaving to transfer to another school. He transferred to Miami, Brad Kaya. I'm sure y'all beat Heaps in the competition to start for Miami. He appeared in 5 games with the Hurricanes, going 6-12 passing for a total of 51 yards. In his career, he completed 497 of 908 passes. That's 54.7% for 5,233 yards, 32 touchdowns, 27 picks. And, I mean, he ended the draft. He was signed to the Jets. He signed with the Brooklyn Bolts for our Experimental Football League. Seahawks, Aswan Left Riders, Seattle, again, and the BC Lions. He kind of just jumped around. You know, he just kept transferring. Like, I mean, you know, you don't want a guy playing on your team that if nothing goes his way, he's going to transfer. So that might be why he ain't got a shot yet in the NFL, because he's just a guy that bounces around. But that don't mean he won't be a good backup for the XFL. I can see him being a backup, and, you know, if he needs to come in as an emergency quarterback for a game or two, I mean, he might come in there and show what he's got. There's nothing wrong with being a backup in any league. I can see him being a backup. I don't see him being a tier 1 quarterback. I can see him being a solid backup for XFL team. The next guy is Keith Price. He played for Washington. His collegiate career, he was pretty good. During the 2011 season, Price completed 219 of 325 yards, 325 passes for 2,625 yards and a school record 29 touchdowns. So, I mean, he was already breaking school records, you know, out of nowhere. I mean, the second game of the season, his redshirt sophomore season, he threw for 4 touchdowns and 315 yards. And then the next week, he threw for 271 yards and 4 more touchdowns. I mean, he was a good player. He ranked 7th in his touchdowns that year. Despite posting impressive statistics, Price had not garnered national-wide media attention. by other leading quarterbacks. The reason why is because they play out west. You know, a lot of these guys that play out west, like Scooby Wright, something we were talking about earlier, they don't get the recognition they deserve because where they play. I mean, Mariota for the Oregon, lucky got drafted second. If they hadn't, you know, if he hadn't been coached by who he's coached by, you know, at Oregon, he might not got no attention. So playing out west, nobody wants to stay up to 10 o'clock Eastern time to watch you play. So that's why a lot of these guys out west don't get the love that they deserve. In the Alamo Bowl that season against the Baylor Bears, Price threw for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and 3 touchdown runs. That's 7 total touchdowns. Despite Price's effort, Washington lost 67-56. Price then began receiving a lot more attention as a future Heisman Trophy candidate. 2011, as more attention grew, he'd given the nickname Teeth Price for a characteristic smile during his interviews. However, next season, he kind of came down. He only threw for 19 touchdowns and 13 interceptions during the 2013 season. He had 2,966 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 6 picks. He won his last collegiate game, a 31-16 victory in the 2013 Hunger Bowl. I mean, he cut down on the interceptions his last year there. So, I mean, he was a pretty good quarterback in college. He finished with 8,921 passing yards and 75 touchdowns. He didn't get drafted. He tried out for Seattle, got cut. He signed with Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the Canadian Football League. His statistics there, he started 2 games, played 35. He went 33 of 51 for 413 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, and ran for additional 46 yards. Price announced he had signed with the San Diego Fleet of the AAF after going undrafted in the 2019 AAF QB draft. He signed with Birmingham Iron on January 16th and made the final roster January 30th. The 5th game against Apollos, Price replaced struggling starter Luis Perez in a 31-14 defeat. Price completed 18-29 for 234 yards and a touchdown, and with a 30-yard score to running back Brandon Ross, being Birmingham's first passing touchdown of the season. However, the following week, the Iron turned back to Perez. Price went down early in the game with an injury. Price could have returned, but head coach Tim Lewis elected to keep Perez in. Price relieved Perez again in week 8, coming off the bench to complete both of his pass attempts, 31 yards and a touchdown, and a playoff clinching victory, but the league, you know, suspended operations a few days later. This guy's a stud. I think he's one of those hidden studs where, you know, kind of what he did with the AAF, where if a tier 1 quarterback is struggling or he gets hurt, he can come in and lead a team to a championship, like a Nick Foles kind of deal. I like Keith Price. I think he has star written all over him. And I think he could be one of those guys that kind of comes in like Tommy Maddox did. Tommy Maddox replaced the first overall pick in the original XFL and won MVP. So I can see him doing something like that. I know that sounds weird, but I see Keith Price being a sneaky star come 2020. And the last guy I'm going to talk about this episode is Darren Thomas. I know you're like, who's Darren Thomas? He was actually the quarterback for the University of Oregon when they lost to Cam Newton and Auburn in the national championship game in 2011. The reason why you didn't know that is because he plays out west. That goes back to my narrative. In his first season as starter, Thomas threw for 2,881 yards and 30 touchdowns, leading Oregon to a 12-0 regular season record and appearance in the national championship game against Auburn. He threw 363 yards and 2 touchdowns, but also threw 2 picks. Auburn would ultimately go on to win 22-19 with a last-second field goal. Thomas was named second-team All-Pac-10 conference selection at quarterback, a co-recipient of the Skills Award for the team's most outstanding player. During the 2011 season, Thomas threw for 2,761 yards and a single season record of 33 touchdowns, leading the Ducks 2012 Rose Bowl, which Thomas threw for 268 yards and 3 touchdowns and a 45-38 win against Washington. The Ducks finished 12-2 with a final ranking of number 4. In his 3 years there, he was there in 08, 10, and 11. He completed 449 yards passing for 449 completions for 733 yards, 66 touchdowns, 17 picks, and he kind of just bounced around from small leagues. He was in the AFL, didn't really do much. Again, he's one of those guys like Price, I think, that could come in, relieve a starter, and do some work. I mean, even in arena football, he had 1,451 yards passing, 27 touchdowns, 15 picks, and 11 rushing touchdowns. He's a dual threat. He could be one of those guys that just kind of comes in and gives a boost to a team that needs it, that quarterback could be struggling. These quarterbacks, like I said, these are going to be the bottom. These are going to be the base guys. Like they've already said, this is going to be just the base guys. But these guys could be sneaky and somebody that you need to look out for come 2020. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I will be back next week with an episode looking at the history of the Spring League. Check out XFL2K.com. He's got exclusives everywhere, every day. And check out XFL Board. and I appreciate everything. I appreciate y'all's support, and I will see y'all next week. Thanks.